Thank Mr. Stewart for the kind words of welcome along this evening. It's good to be with you and to share fellowship with you this evening. I have had a number of harvests. I think there's about the seventh one this year, and I was wondering why everyone was booking me for harvest this year. And then I got the job of moderator, and I think that was something to do with other people thought that I was going to be moderator and they booked me, and lo and behold, I did become moderator, much to my surprise. But we're glad to be here, and we trust that God will indeed bless us as we meet around his word this evening. Can we turn to the book of Ruth for our scripture reading tonight? I'm going to read from the first verse of the second chapter, the book of Ruth, chapter 2, and we're going to read from the first verse, please. Ruth chapter 2, and beginning at verse 1 of the chapter. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And we lay in our reading there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite in a word of prayer afresh. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's precious name. We thank thee, our God, for what we have heard already. We thank thee for the messages in song to our hearts. We thank thee, our God, for thy presence. And, O God, we pray that thou wouldst come in mighty power this evening and apply thy word to the hearts of those that are found under its sound tonight. Our God, we pray that thy word would have free course and be glorified, that thou wouldst add to the church such as should be saved. We thank thee that we can see that spiritual harvest of precious, never-dying souls. And so, our God, we pray that thy hand would be upon us. Bless and be with us here this evening, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Well, the story of the book of Ruth is a well-known story. You'll know the story of chapter 1, how that Naomi and her husband Elimelech, in a time of famine in Bethlehem, went down into the land of Moab, into the land of the pagan, into the land of the heathen, and left behind their heritage and left behind really their God. And we find that in the land of the stranger, they came to the place where Elimelech died. And then the two sons married two women of Moab, and then they died. So the daughters and Naomi were left without husbands, without breadwinners, and they were in very dire straits indeed in the land of Moab. But we find that Naomi came to a determination. She said, I will go home. I will go home to Bethlehem. And she determined that she would leave, in spite of her grief and all, that she would come into the land of her nativity again. And when that takes place, there is a dramatic change in the narrative here. Because chapter 1 is a chapter of sorrow, but chapter 2 is a chapter of service. Chapter 1 is a chapter of weeping, but chapter 2 is a chapter of work. And you know the story, perhaps you've heard it in Sunday school, how that not only did Naomi go back to Bethlehem, but one of her daughter-in-laws determined to go with her. Ruth the Moabitess went with her. And what a mighty decision it was that Ruth made. Remember her great declaration in chapter 1 in verses 16 and 17. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And I want you to see how determined she was to follow after Naomi. And she was willing to follow Naomi's God. And that's the thing there. Now, we think of how she went to Bethlehem. For in many ways, there weren't many prospects for her in Bethlehem. She was leaving behind her family. She was leaving behind her culture. She was leaving behind her friends. And Naomi warned her, she told her that this is what she was going to do. And there was nobody for her to marry. There was a system of levirate marriage in those days by which if a son died, that a brother of the man that died could marry the woman and raise up seed for the man that had died. But Naomi had no other sons. So there was no prospect of marriage. But I want you to see that there was a prospect of being satisfied. Because it says in verse 6 of chapter 2 that she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And more than that, I want you to see that the Lord was really giving them an abundance of bread. Because if you look at chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So they came into the land just at the time when the provision was greatest, just at the time when the material blessings were at their height, when there was plenty of food. And when Ruth determined to follow the Lord and to go into the land where the Lord was God, as it were, we find that she was going into mighty blessings. And it is a great illustration of that law. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There is blessing. There's going to be satisfaction if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said in Psalm 84 and verse 11, For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And I'm glad tonight that we have a God of abundant grace. And that's what Naomi, and that's what Ruth found as they entered into Bethlehem and into the land of Israel. As they now determined to follow the Lord, they entered into the abundant grace of God. And I want us to think tonight, just for a few minutes, about that abundant grace. You know, sometimes people get the notion that if you become a Christian, then you'll have to go about with a long face and that you'll have to go about in misery all the days of your life. Nothing could be further from the truth, because the Lord gives abundantly, pressed down, shaken together, full and running over. Dear friend, whatever your need may be, you can have that need met at the cross. And I want to direct you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed God of grace and mercy, who is abundant in mercy tonight. And I want us to see the abundance of his mercy here in the harvest time. And there are a number of things about the grace of the Lord that we see in this portion of Scripture. And the first thing that I want you to see is the primacy of grace, because grace was the primary thing that both Naomi and Ruth needed. Now, I've told you that they came into the land of Israel and into the town of Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. There was an abundance. There was plenty to eat. There was plenty to draw from. There were plenty of resources and all the rest. But the problem was that Ruth and Naomi really were returning as strangers. Ruth was a stranger altogether, but Naomi had been out of the land for a long time. And really, there you have the picture of the unsaved person, the stranger to God, and the person that is the backslider that's wandered away into the far country. And they come back, and they have no means of getting hold of this abundance. They have no means of getting hold of the harvest, really. They don't have fields. They don't have a means of reaping. They don't have servants to go out into the fields to gather anything. And so when they come in rags, and they are there in rags, and in many ways they are depending upon grace. And I want you to see what it says in verse 2 of chapter 2 there. It says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after in him in whose sight I shall find grace." She was looking for grace. She knew that she needed grace. She wasn't going to survive if there was not grace. Someone had to give to her out of the abundance of what they had. Otherwise, she would perish. And I'm glad tonight that we come to a God of grace. You perish if someone in his mercy does not give you of eternal life and blessing. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But I want you to see that there's a twofold recognition as Ruth here comes and looks for this grace. First of all, there is the recognition that she is in her own poverty. She cannot do anything. She realized that there was nothing that she could do or nothing that she could pay. She had nothing that she could pay with. She had no tools that she could reap with. She had nothing to enable her to avail of the abundant harvest that was there for her if she could only reach it. And she had to come in humility, and she says there that she'll go to glean in a field, but she needs the grace of the owner in order that she will be able to have anything. Dear friend, here she is, and she's come from a foreign land, and she really has to go begging in the field. She has to come with humility. She really has to have done with pride. Many another person in the situation of Ruth here would have risen up in pride. "Oh, I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to go on my knees looking for something, and my pride would be hurt, and I'm not going to just get down there in humility. I have my pride to look to." And many a person has rejected the grace of God out of a sense of pride. But dear friend, if you're going to come and avail of the abundance that God has for you in his mercy, then the only way that you can come is to come humbly. You've got to come like Ruth, and you've got to say, I want to go into the sight of one in whom I shall find grace. And you've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner in the sight of a holy God, and there's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can give. There is nothing that your talents can bring you or your circumstances will merit. There's nothing that you can do. You've got to acknowledge tonight that you come in poverty. But not only is there a recognition of poverty, but there's a recognition of provision. That's the second thing. Because she's looking for grace, but she knows that there's grace to be given. She knows that such a thing is available. Because God, in his mercy, has always made an abundance and a provision of grace. He has always made a provision for the plenty to be given to those that have not. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 19 and look at verses 9 and 10. Leviticus chapter 19 and look at verses 9 and 10. It says there about the reaping of the harvest, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. So you see what God did? He said to the people, don't just reap every part of the field. Don't just lift every cluster of grapes. Leave some for the poor. Leave some for those that need grace. And thank God today that God has always been a God who provides grace. And Ruth knew that there was a provision. She knew that there was something that she could lay hold upon. There was grace to be given. And I'm glad tonight to be able to tell you, dear friend, that there is grace and mercy with the Lord. I'm glad that the Lord has made a mighty provision. He sent his Son into the world to die on the cross of Calvary and to shed his precious blood that we might be redeemed. He cried on the cross, "It is finished." And he paid all the price that needs to be paid. And dear friend, all you need to do is go like the people in this day and go and avail yourself of what God has provided. You come in humility, but thank God you can take in faith. I'm glad tonight that we can see something of the primacy of grace. That's the first thing that she needed, the primary thing that she needed, and that's what you need. But then I want you to see something else tonight. Look at the person of grace. Who is going to provide this grace for Naomi? Well, we're introduced to him in verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Now, the name Boaz means "in him is strength." And that reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for the one who strengthens his people, and the one who is almighty in strength. He is the source of our strength. He is the source of any strength that we have, because without him we're without strength. But when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But I thank God for this wonderful picture, because in Boaz, who actually is an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a wonderful picture of his greater son. And I want you to see this person of grace, and I want you to see his riches. He's rich. It says he's a mighty man of wealth. And it's obvious that Boaz had land, and he had servants, and he had crops, and he had a harvest. And verse 5 speaks of his servant. Verse 6 speaks of his reapers, and so on and so on. He is a mighty man of wealth. He is a man who's able to do mighty things. And I'm glad that I come to the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You know, the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing that we have, the very breath that you breathe, has been given you out of the grace and mercy of Almighty God. He is the one who has strength tonight, the one who can meet you at the point of your need. You know, you have people of riches in this day and generation, and they can do a lot with their riches, but there are some things that they can't do. They can't give life. They sometimes, with all the ability that they have to pay, cannot bring sickness or cure to sickness or whatever it is. But I'm glad tonight that this is ultimate wealth, because God can do anything. And dear friend, no matter how deep down in sin you are, and no matter what the circumstances may be, and no matter how vile you feel yourself to be, I'm glad that this God of wealth and strength is able to lift you out of the mire and pit of sin. And I'm glad tonight that he comes and he bids you come to him and avail of the wealth of eternity tonight. Oh, dear friend, will you come to the one who is rich? But remember this, the Bible says that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And you know, he left his riches to give the riches to us. That's how much he loves. He loves with an everlasting love. We see his riches. But also I want you to see his relationship, because it says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. Boaz was a member of the family. And you know, that's significant, because when the Lord Jesus comes, he comes to make us part of the family. And there are two senses in which we can think of that. First of all, we think of him, how he came to be a man. He came and took upon him human flesh. He comes to identify with us. And you know, because he is God and because he is man and because of the fact that he is the God-man, he is our mediator. And you know, he's able to go between God and man. He is the one who intercedes on our behalf. He is the one mediator that there is between God and man. And dear friend, you need a mediator. You need a go-between. You need a dais man who will stand before God and intercede and plead his precious blood. But dear friend, you've got to come to him. You've got to come to him. Not only does he come to identify with us, as it were, and be part of the family of humanity, but you know what else he does when he redeems us? He brings us into his family. He adopts us into his family. We are born again into the family of God. And dear friend, we have that mighty privilege of being in the family of God. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank God. He wants a relationship. Vile as you may be, sinner as you may be, he wants that relationship. Something else, not only is he rich, and not only is he a relation, but he's a redeemer. The word kinsman there in the Hebrew is a word that just means, well, it means a kinsman redeemer. The redeemer is there because a kinsman had a power to redeem. And you, if you were to read the book, you would see the thing worked out. How that if there was a man who died, then the kinsman had the power to redeem the wife, buy back the debts that she had and so on, become her husband. And you can see that worked out. He has the right to redeem. And I'm glad that we have a redeemer tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is the redeemer. He paid all the price. Oh, what a price. You think of what it cost the Holy One to bear away our sins. You know that sin that would put you and I in a Christless eternity, and that we would be there throughout the eons of time and beyond, and we would never have paid for our sin, but our Saviour paid all the price of our sin. He is the great substitute tonight. Oh, He is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Have you got a Redeemer tonight? Have you come? Has your debt been paid? Has that debt of sin been settled? I'm glad tonight that this person is a Redeemer. But not only do I want you to see the primacy of grace and the person of grace, but I want you to see something else. I want you to see the providence of grace. Because I want you to look at what it says in verse 3 of the chapter. It says, and she went, this is speaking about Ruth, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. In other words, there it was a kind of an accident. Well, it was no accident, but looking from the human point of view, it seemed like an accident. She just happened to go to Boaz's field. There were many fields all around, and she was going to look for grace. She was going to try and reap in a field, and she was going to try and find this provision that had been made by God in Leviticus chapter 19, but she happens to go into the field of Elimelech. But there was no coincidence about that. God had that all planned. God was working in providence. I remember speaking to a man in one of our churches, and that man had been at Dunkirk, at the evacuation of Dunkirk in the Second World War. And he had a praying mother. At that time, he wasn't saved himself. But he was going out to one of the evacuation craft, and there was a long line of soldiers, and they were all waiting to get onto the evacuation craft. And the man just in front of him went onto this craft, but he was stopped. The sergeant or whoever it was, the officer, stopped him. And all the soldiers got onto this evacuation craft, and just as it sailed off out into the sea, it was torpedoed, and every life was lost. And that man always remembered that he had a praying mother, and he believed that it was the prayers of his mother. For God had another desire for that man, because later on that man got saved, was used of God in one of our congregations. And it's not luck. It's the providence of God. I read about another story, March the 1st, 1950. And there was a scheduled choir practice at a church in Beatrice, Nebraska, in America. And the pastor and the wife, they were going out. They were going to leave to get to the meeting at 7:30. But they discovered their little girl had soiled her clothes, and so they were delayed. There was another man who was a high school student, and her name was LaDonna. And she had some homework to do and geometry problems, but she was having particular problems that night with her homework. She was delayed. There was two sisters who delayed because their car wouldn't start. Mrs. Schuster normally arrived at the church at 7:20, but that night her mother needed her to stop with her first, so she went to see the mother and, of course, was delayed. One man took a nap and he overslept. And that night, that church in Beatrice, Nebraska, blew up. And all of the folks in the choir arrived after the church blew up. Normally, they would all have been there, but that night, God stopped every one of them. Now, God has you here for a reason. God has brought you here for a reason. There's no coincidence. You might be here because some friend asked you here. It may be that you are here because You're paying a debt to somebody or doing a favor for somebody. But God has you here to hear the message of God. He wants you to hear this message. And God, in providence, is working in your life. Maybe you sat in the other meetings of the harvest or other services, and you've heard the word of God, and you've heard the preaching of the word of God, and God has been speaking to your heart in recent days, and God is working in providence in your life. Do you recognize that? Can you see that? God has you here for a reason. God has me preaching this message for a reason. And I want you to see the providence of grace. Her hap was to light in a certain field. Your hap is to be here tonight. But God has brought you here. Something else I want you to see is the progress of grace. Because I want you to see how God was working in her life. And I want you to see that no sooner had her choice been and was made that she would go to this field, that she gets this resolve in her heart. Look at verse 2. She says, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And again, look at verse 7. "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." And then in verse 13, she says to Boaz, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord." Now, she's always saying, "Let me." She's not content until she makes progress. She's going ahead. She has now a determination to glean. And she wants to get to the place. She wants to go to the place where there's abundance. And then she wants to follow Boaz, her Savior. You know, dear friend, I wonder if God has given you something of a determination in your heart. I will go. Let me go. Let me go. You're saying tonight, I would love to be saved. Now the devil is working in your heart and putting up a fight against you. But maybe there is that godly resolve that is formed in your heart. Let me go. Let me find the blessing that other people have found. Let me have eternal life in my heart. Let me know the joy of sins forgiven. Let me have done with this conviction. Let me have done with the misery of my sinful life. Let me see the chains of sin, the bondage that I'm under. Let me see that broken. Oh, dear friend, come with determination. You know what the Lord said? Strive to enter in. Strive. The kingdom of God is taken by force. You've got to come with that determination, a resolve. Not only do we see her resolve, but look at her reward. Boaz sees her and it says that he lets his men leave handfuls on purpose. Look at verses 17 and 18. "So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed." So there was enough to meet her need, and enough to meet her mother-in-law's need. Now, there you have satisfaction. That's what I mean by following the Lord. I'm not saying that you will not have any more problems in your life. I'm not saying that you're not going to have any trials or difficulties in your life. But I'll tell you this, that if you follow the Lord, you will avoid so many pitfalls. You'll avoid so many trials and tribulations and difficulties in your life. If you follow the path that the Lord wants you to follow. But I wonder tonight, is there one in this meeting and you come with this resolve? I'm going. I want to meet him. I want to come to the Savior. Is there anyone in this meeting and that is your resolved. And if it isn't, isn't it about time you had a resolve like that? Isn't it about time you came to the one who's alone able to satisfy? We see the progress of grace. But then I want you to see the provision of grace, because I want you to see that Ruth is provided for. Boaz says, "Whose damsel is this?" Now, at the time, Ruth was poor. Ruth was probably in rags. And even though she's in rags, she catches the eye of Boaz. There's something wonderfully comforting about the fact that here she comes in rags. There's maybe nothing very much to commend her to Boaz, but here is this man of wealth, this man of comfort, but he has his eye upon this poor, ragged girl. God has his eye upon us. And you know what happens? Boaz brings her in, and Boaz marries her. And if you turn over to chapter 3 and verse 1, there's a significant phrase that is used about Ruth. It says, and this is when she has been blessed of Boaz, and we see the relationship begin to form. It says that she goes back to Naomi and she tells Naomi what has happened. And it says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?'" And that's what the Lord wants for us tonight. He wants for it to be well with us. Is it well with you? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your eternity? Oh, the wonderful thing for Ruth was that it would be well with her. And it was well with her because she was brought into the family of Boaz, and we find that he married her. He brought her into his home. He made her his bride. And thank God that there was that family bond formed. What does the Lord do with his people? He brings them in. And he brings them, as it were, into his home. "In my Father's house are many mansions." And thank God that he blesses us in every blessed way. And thank God throughout eternity, those who are his will walk with him. Is it well with you tonight? Is it well for eternity? Oh, that God would write his word upon your heart, and that you might come and find the abundance of God in the harvest season, and reach out and come in humility, and by faith take what God freely offers in the gospel. What about it, dear man, woman, young person? Will you come tonight? Will you come to the feet of the Savior? May God write his word upon your heart for his name's sake. Amen.
Let's just bow in prayer. With our heads bowed, we can say in the words of Newton, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." I trust that you'll seek counsel tonight. Maybe God has been speaking to you. Providence has brought you here. God in his sovereignty. Oh, seek the Savior. Seek the bounty that's in him. Come and be satisfied. May your soul find rest at the feet of Christ tonight. We'll be at the door. Come and speak to us there. We'll be in the building. Make your need known to us. We want to help you to Christ. May you in mercy seek him. May God give you all the grace and courage that's needed for you to seek after him even tonight. We make the appeal. Come to Christ. Be saved and come to experience the grace of God. Come and hide under the wing of our great God. May God be pleased to bring you to Christ. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we do thank thee for the word of God to our souls. Thank thee for the provision of grace. that which we do not deserve, for that's what grace is, God giving us what we do not deserve. And Ruth certainly did not deserve any of the bounty and blessing. Oh God, it was out of the good grace of Boaz that she was brought into the home and into the family. Lord, we pray that such a grace will be extended to some soul. Be gracious, O God, to the sinner. Be gracious to the backslider. And pray, we pray, O God, by thy Spirit, that thou wilt draw men and women unto Christ. Help us now as we sing thy praise, and then as we partake of these good things, bless them to us. But help us even now, for we pray this our prayer and petitions in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. We're turning to 201. Sorry, I've changed the hymn. The hymn number is 201 because God's servant has been speaking about grace. The third verse says, grace is flowing like a river. Millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Saviour's wounded side. We're going to sing the verse 1, 3 and 4 of the hymn 201. And those who can help us serve out the tea, please make your way to the kitchen. Maybe those that are just above us here, you could maybe make your way down. I trust there'll be plenty of places available for you, and make your way down. It'll just help serve out the tea a little better tonight. The hymn is 201. We'll sing verse 1, 3 and 4, and we'll remain standing while we offer prayer even for the good things. The hymn 201. Our loving Father, we do thank thee for the Redeemer and his grace to us. We pray that such grace will be extended to some soul in this house tonight. To give our thanks for these good things provided, the hands that have made it. We pray, O God, that we might eat and drink to thy glory and praise. May our fellowship be Christ-centered and may it be sweet. And then take us safely home, we pray, to all our homes and our abodes. We pray for, O God, the sinner, that they'll leave having been pardoned, forgiven, and redeemed by precious blood. Answer prayer and go with us and be with us. For we pray these are petitions and prayers in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be